Brett Beard, he guests every day from 1 until 3 Eastern Time, 12 until 2 Central Time on the Boomo Bug Show starring Brett Beard. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I am just fine, Bill Shanks. This is really going to be a meat and potatoes draft. So many. We talked to Bill Bender of the Sporting News today, for example, and he mentioned, and I agree with him, that this may be the as far as the deepest draft in the past 20 years for defensive linemen and linebackers. The SEC is going to do really well. I know Alabama had 12 last year. They may have 10 by the time they get to Saturday. But as far as defense is concerned, and we'll go over some of the guys, I think it's going to be the deepest draft we've had in two decades.
Hey, there's no doubt about that. It is deep. It's a little weird of who's going to go where in the first round, but I think depth-wise you're right about that. Hey, I'm going to ask you first, though, before I forget this, because you know I have CRS. Do you know Marty Blazer?
Yeah. Do I know Marty Blazer? I don't know Marty personally, but unfortunately, a lot of defense attorneys are going to get to know Marty in the next couple of years.
So how many players did he pay to go to Alabama?
Zero from everything I've been told, but he did drop a bombshell earlier this week, didn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, these shysters, you don't know what to believe on them. I mean, if it was Auburn, I'd believe him more because we know that happens over there. We, you know, we would think he may have a bag underneath the desk there on while he's on on trial. But he said Alabama. How about that, Brett Beard?
Well, along with Alabama, Michigan, Penn State, and a host of other blue bloods. That's the key to this. Is it happened between 2000 and 2014? The normal statute of limitations for the NCAA is 4 years, but once again, coaches, no names were asked. You know, are we naive enough to know this goes on? Does it go on in college football? Certainly it does, and he's on trial for the FBI basketball sting, which is going to continue to be interesting. In fact, Clemson was incriminated this afternoon, one of their assistant coaches. But, yes, a lot of people in the state of Alabama noticed when one school in particular was listed among that group of schools earlier this week.
Is there any truth to the rumor you were having to forfeit the 2017 national championship?
No, there is absolutely no truth to that rumor whatsoever.
I'm going to make that rumor up and spread it like wildfire.
Coming from you, I could see that.
Well, all right, so the other part of the question is, how's old Nicky doing?
Nick is doing okay. He came back to work yesterday, which is no surprise to anyone. I may have mentioned this on your show last week, I thought that he would wait until the NFL draft because he's been there for the last 5 or 6 years, and Alabama should have 3 or 4 at the draft tonight, but he decided to go in and have it on Monday. He said he did nothing on Monday, and he said, how do people do this? Because, again, he's robotic. People ask me about him all the time over the years. How can he do this, and how can he do that? My stock answer has been, well, most humans can't do that, but he's not human. But he is doing, had a cane, he had a walker the first day, graduated to a cane, said, I'm going to throw that SOB away. So now he's standing, he's making phone calls, watching videotape as we speak.
Your brother and I speculated on Monday that you might have been in the operating room with him. Is that correct?
No, I really tried to see if I could take a picture before he went under. And they said no visitors allowed, and I said, dadgummit, I'll come up with another reason.
You were like those doctors that took that horrible picture of Joan Rivers after they killed her. You were trying to take one of Nick, weren't you?
Well, I was trying to be a little more discreet, but I just couldn't get past security.
Oh, my gosh. All right, real quick, hold on.
Yeah.
Ian Rappaport is reporting on the bottom line on NFL Network that Atlanta is trying to move up into the top 10. Ian Rappaport reporting that the Atlanta Falcons, as we have speculated, are trying to work a trade to move into the top 10 of the draft tonight. Oh, God. Look, if it's for Quinnen Williams, I'm all for it. Ed Oliver, I'm scared to death about that. Ed Oliver,
yep.
He's too short. He's like Grady Jarrett. They don't need another Grady Jarrett.
Well, it's not only the size, but no, I'm like you. If they could move up to 4 or 5 to get Quinnen Williams, and again, looking like Quinnen may be going to the Jets at 3.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, the fine linebacker from Kentucky, at 4, and then maybe Devin White. Grady Williams is who I have heard if Atlanta stays at 14. But I'm like you, if they move up, get somebody for it.
See, here's the problem with Grady Williams that I think defines my concern about this draft. While I don't disagree with you that it's a deep draft, I think the problem is Grady Williams and the beat writer for the Falcons on AJC.com, the Orlando Ledbetter, who's a tremendous writer and a tremendous reporter, has linked mm-hmm. Grady Williams to Atlanta in 3 of his last mock drafts.
Right.
But the problem is that, like, 2 guys, Daniel Jeremiah and Charlie Casserly, just to name a couple, who have done mock drafts, don't even have Grady Williams in the first round. That scares me. You know, that's a concern.
Well, you bring up a good point, but because I have noticed, and Jeremiah has really picked up a good bit of street cred this year. I've got some respect for him because a lot of the local guys have used him. But this has been one of those drafts that has just been wildly fluctuating. I've seen players, as you mentioned, that have been listed in some mock drafts late the first round, and other guys don't even have them in the third round.
I know.
Look, I get the character aspects for some of these guys. Oliver is a tremendous talent, but you're right, it's the size issue, and then it's the character issue. He chewed out his coach,
mm-hmm.
did a couple other things that he probably shouldn't have done, which I know some of the players do. But, yes, I noticed the same thing, and you're wise to bring that up. It really has fluctuated more this draft than I think I've ever seen it.
All right. Brett Pierce, our guest, 939thescore.com. I want to ask you about SEC players, but I want to first ask you this. Is Kyler Murray the best player in this draft?
Oh, Lord, no. Kyler Murray is a very good player. He's not even, to me, is the best quarterback in the draft. Probably Haskins at Ohio State, and he's got issues. Drew Locke is not, even though I keep saying he's a first-round quarterback. His record against the elite SEC teams, 1-9. Now, no question he's got an arm on him, but when he played Alabama and Tuscaloosa, I was not impressed. And no question, Alabama had one of the better games they had the entire season. Kyler Murray is a tremendous athlete, and all you need is just one team. But to me, he's not even the best quarterback. Probably Haskins is. The kid from Duke is not bad. But as far as the top 4 quarterbacks, Joey Bosa or Quinnen Williams, to me, and Mel the Hair Kiper Breeze are the 2 best players in the NFL draft.
So what makes Williams, is it his size more than anything? He's got a presence on that defensive line, doesn't he? It's kind of scary.
He has an incredible ability to beat double teams. Somebody described him as a slippery bar of soap, and you could really see it. I'm sure you've seen some of the clips, and we'll see enough of them tonight again. He has an innate ability to slip through a double team better than anyone. Dron Payne and A'shaun Robinson and the other half dozen first-round draft picks who are defensive linemen for the last 5 years bull rush you, or they just have got the speed and athleticism to work around. But he's such a smart kid. He beats double teams so well. I think that's the reason the NFL loves him so much.
Brett Beard is our guest. We were talking a little NFL draft here about some SEC players. All right. I guess... You mentioned Josh Allen earlier, and we were talking about Josh Allen in the previous segment. Now, this is unfair for me to say this, but you've probably had this happen before watching players go up against Alabama. Everybody was talking about Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen. And Brett, when Georgia played Kentucky, I had to literally text my friends and say, is Josh Allen playing today? Because Josh Allen did not show up for that game. He was neutralized and did nothing. So how good can this kid really be?
He has improved, Bill, but we talked to Larry Ball, former sports editor at Danville News Messenger, and he knows that Kentucky situation well. He's been following it for 13 years. There's no question he is a very good player. I said out the entire season, I thought Devin White was the best linebacker of LSU. I thought he was the best linebacker, probably projects to go to Tampa Bay.
Right.
But you're right. I remember that Georgia game. Georgia just completely, he was a non-factor. Now, I give Georgia a lot of credit for that, and particularly with Georgia's offensive line being able to block the kid. I think he's certainly a top 10 talent. Is he top five, which he's been touted to be? But that, the Georgia game, and there was another one, and I'll think of it in a minute, he only had about three or four tackles and really did not stand out. But the game plan Georgia had against him worked, and you know the NFL will use that as a blueprint. No question he's a great talent, and he's kind of the poster child of the maturity and the development of the Kentucky program. And Stoops, again, it's not sexy, but he's been able to get this program up to a level that's very respectable. And again, beating Florida and winning the bowl game against Penn State. Is he a top three or four talent? That may be a little bit questionable. I still think, that Williams is the best prospect from the SEC, Devin White second, and probably Josh Allen third.
Hey, you think, Brett Beard, that Georgia's offensive line neutralized big-time defensive linemen last year? You just wait till 2019, big boy.
Let me tell you something. I was quaking in my boots last Saturday afternoon. Now, the wide receivers, I could do a better job for Kirby catching the ball. The wide receivers need some work. Robinson, I think, is going to help you. Land, number five, they target him 10 times.
Landers.
They target him 10 times. He accidentally caught three. Georgia's got to work on the wide receivers. But in my opinion right now, Georgia's got the best offensive line in the country.
Brad, we don't need no receivers. All we got to do, I mean, you could run through this offensive line we're going to have in September.
Yeah, and you've got three good running backs, too.
Yeah, we do. But I'm telling you, that offensive line, Katie bar the door now, it's going to be pretty awesome.
You're exactly correct. To me, I didn't see every game. I've heard Oregon is much improved. The three best rosters in the country are Georgia, Alabama, and Clemson, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. All right, what about these Mississippi State guys, Montez Sweat and the Simmons kid? What do you think about them?
Montez Sweat was misdiagnosed with a heart ailment. From what I hear, the latest I've seen with him, Sweat could go as high as number six to the Giants. But Bill, Alabama was obliterating everybody they faced. LSU was a challenge, but the third quarter of the Alabama-Mississippi State game, Alabama, I think, gained 10 yards because of those two guys, because they stalemated the Alabama offensive line. Simmons, of course, had the ACL. I still think he's going to be selected. I don't think there's any question. I think they're two of the best defensive linemen in the country, and if Swain has been cleared medically, I think he's chosen the top 10 tonight.
Brett Beard, our guest, we're talking NFL draft. Which one of these Clemson linemen do you like the best?
Wilkins is good. Farrell is close. They're similar. They've got different styles. Farrell is a little bit more of a run stopper. Wilkins can get around the end. They're all friggin' good. I mean, there's no question. They've got four guys who are probably going to Dexter Lawrence, I've read several mock drafts. One had Lawrence ahead of Farrell and Wilkins, and then vice versa. Farrell was ahead of the other two.
Yeah.
They're all good. Dexter Lawrence, I think, maybe as far as just sheer talent, maybe the best of the three. Wilkins, I think, is, when you look at all the intangibles, maybe the best. But to have three of your defensive line chosen in the first round is pretty impressive.
Hey, you know that Dan Mullen's been trolling Georgia a little bit, don't you? You heard about that?
You told me that a couple of times, yes.
All right, so with that in mind, how in the hell wasn't he better at Mississippi State with three potential first-round draft picks coming off his former team?
Several people have asked me the same question. Dan, what can you get this done when these guys were there, when you were there?
Mm-hmm.
Which, quite frankly, is a legitimate question.
That's right. No doubt about it. I think he's just overrated.
No question.
All right, anybody else in the SEC? And we're going to see a lot of SEC players in the second and third rounds, too. Tomorrow night's going to be a big SEC showing. But who else are you kind of curious to see in the NFL and who we need to watch out for here tonight or tomorrow?
Where is DK Metcalf going to go? You know,
yeah.
You see all these Twitter pictures. He looks like the Incredible Hulk. You know, can he be the big physical receiver that they're looking for? Irv Smith Jr., Alabama's tight end. Will New England pick him since Gronk is gone with the 32nd pick?
Mm.
Those are two off the top of my head. I'm curious to see where they go because both those guys really are first-round talent that I think a lot of A.J. Brown, the wide receiver at Mississippi State, who may be even better. I know he had better numbers than Metcalf.
Oh, yeah.
A.J. Brown, in my opinion, may be the best wide receiver in the SEC.
Yeah, he led the league in receiving yards, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned Drew Lock earlier. I was just looking at one of the mock drafts from Jeremiah. He had Green Bay taking him at 30. And quarterbacks, I mean, we remind people all the time over here, Brett, look, complain about Matt Ryan all you want to, but you better pray to God that you're glad that you have him because when you have to replace him, you're going to be in a mess. But what do you look at with Drew Lock?
Bill, I go back once again to how he did with the major competition in the
NFC. So that's the overriding factor for you is just he didn't perform well against the big boys.
That's some of it. He's got the size. He's got the arm. That they ran the ball a little bit more last year. But that to me is probably the mediocre performance against the elite teams in the SEC.
Yeah. Well, it's just hard to, you know, you go back the last couple of years, and nobody would have thought, obviously, the Mahomes kid was going to be as good as he was.
Right.
And you go back and you look at the ones that failed, and you look at the ones that, I mean, I've always said the last couple of years, you go back to Andrew Luck, he was the one, I think, coming out of Stanford that we really thought, all right, and health obviously impacted his career, but I think we really all believed this is going to be a really great quarterback, and I think he is, with the exception of what he's been through with the health, and he showed last year coming back that he's got great talent here. But Brett, when it comes to quarterback, this is a freaking crapshoot, isn't it?
Well, it is. Again, the NFL puts so much emphasis on it, and really, to me, the 2020 quarterback race or the talent pool is going to be better than this year. Obviously, you and I are biased with Fromm and Tua. I think there are better quarterbacks coming out next year.
Well, the kid from Oregon, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He'll be out. I mean, so we expect Tua and probably Jake as well. I mean, I don't want to admit it. I'm trying to deny it, but it's very possible. Which means he's going to win the national championship this year. But I mean, it's very possible that that's going to happen.
Yep.
And you know, but you know, I guarantee even with that, and I can, and much as I love Jake Fromm, and I'm anxious to see him this year with a great offensive line. I'm anxious to see him without the fear of Justin Fields taking his daggum job, which was ridiculous last year. But I can't sit here and guarantee you how I feel about him as an NFL quarterback because of how difficult it is to peg these kids.
Well, it is, and you have got defensive coordinators in the NFL. They don't get paid a lot of money by accident. They know what they're doing. It just simply takes time to read complex defenses, even complex offenses. You've got players coming and going. And again, I know that's the case in college too, but you've got a lot of players – who are going in and out. It's just such a different animal in the NFL. And even though they were God's gift to quarterbacks in college, it really is a different story in the NFL because the D coordinators and the defensive talent is so good.
Yeah, and no doubt about that. All right, you going to watch the Braves tonight or the NFL draft? What you doing?
Both. Thank you, Sabatka, for pitching the way you did. Isn't it amazing what happens when you throw the ball over the plate? You get ahead of batters. It just, you know, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but sometimes the old stuff, oh, and by the way, let a pitcher go past the 100-pitch count. You know, it's just amazing at what happens and all those three work together. Most of the time, you're going to win the game.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Well, we'll see what happens, and hopefully they can finish out the series in Cincinnati, and we'll be watching the NFL draft as well. Mr. Brett Beard has been our guest, 939thescore.com. He's got a great show every day, 1 to 3, especially 2:30 or so, 2:15 on Fridays.
Bill Shanks, once again, and go Dawgs. Now, is Baker, I keep seeing Baker anywhere from 18 to 26 tonight. Where is he going?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's second round. I think he's fallen. I mean, you know, January he was like going to Oakland at 4. Now he's no telling. I mean, it's just.
Now, are you going to admit to me Georgia may not have a player in the first round of the NFL draft tonight?
No, I'm not going to admit nothing to you. I'm going to lie like a dog.
I know.
It's okay. Well, you know, this time next year we're going to be talking about two offensive linemen going in the top 10, big boys. It's going to be like we're talking about Alabama.
I agree with you, buddy. You're right.
Mr. Thomas and Mr. Wilson may be going top 10 the way we're going. We'll see. All right, Brett. Thank you, sir.
Awfully good. All right, buddy.
All right. Brett Beard, 939thescore.com. Talk a little NFL. Of course, he talks college football every day of his life on 939thescore.com.